well. You couldn't see it, but there were so many people out here rubbing those words, closing your eyes. It was wonderful to watch. It's a beautiful song, one of my favorites. Thank you. And I know one of Nancy's favorites.
Oh, absolutely. A
couple announcements this morning. First of all, thank Nancy for coming in and preaching with us today. We enjoyed the last one. She did so much. We asked her to come back for an encore. The restoration project was supposed to be done by this week, but there was a small glitch. Unfortunately, the carpenter, Rich's sister, passed away this week, so he was unable to come. So please keep his family in your prayers, thoughts and prayers. I'm not sure if he'll be back next week or whatever, but he'll be back as soon as he can to finish up the project. Next week, Pastor Arnie Fliegel will be coming in, and he'll be staying for about a month. He'll be here till June 8th. So we'll learn about our new preacher next week. The transition team is still working on the reorganization of the Constitution and bylaws. We did a huge chunk last week. It's going quite well, we think. When it's all done, of course, it will go out to you, and you will approve everything done. Hopefully approve everything done. Thank you to all who worked Thursday night's dinner for me, Swiss steak dinner. There were so many people there. Thank you so much for helping out with that. And the next dinner is coming up soon. Chicken barbecue is set for Friday, June 30th.
May
30th. Gosh, I have June 30th right here. I'm already done with May. I'm sorry. I'm in June. It is May 30th. I apologize. Thank you for correcting me. Please see Rick Kelly if you would like to help out with that. It's not quite as labor-intensive as the Swiss steak, but we still need helpers. I know Dave wants to say a word.
Thank you.
You're up.
Can't say much other than a great big thank you, as Julie has already said. You know, as I look around our congregation and our choir, the majority of people were some way involved in this dinner, either working or participating, buying dinners, eating dinners, taking to your families and friends. It's such a major effort that we've got people here from 7 in the morning till 7 at night. Some people, many have contributed in whatever the way they can. It's been overwhelming help, and we thought we were going to struggle for help. We had plenty of help, and we were very fortunate that way. Only thing we didn't have was quite the number of customers that we wanted, but I think we still came out okay financially. I would tell you that there is some leftover meat and accessories out in the freezer. The meat will be for sale after church. If the other stuff you can kind of just take. See Donna afterward out front. We'll try to get rid of that stuff. So appreciate your help. We're not having another Swiss steak till fall, I think. But those chicken dinners are coming up, so we'll need your help there too. Appreciate it, and I thank you very much. Anybody that participated, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other? I know we still need lots of people to sign up for greeters and liturgists, and Georgia would love to have a few more out on the hospitality. I think we're covered through May, but going into June, we probably could use a few more names up there if you'd like to host one of our coffee hours. Any other announcements? Okay, thank you.
Few names on the prayer list today. We have requests for the friends and family of Adam Brown, and that is requested by Georgia. Chris Church, that is requested by Rick and Shelley, Bob Jeffries, Stephanie Chase Blake. That's Stephanie and Chase Blake. I apologize. Velma Boss, and finally, John Todd, and that is requested by Rick and Shelley. There's an address here. Did you want me to read this to the congregation?
No,
just for a card?
Yeah, just a card.
Okay, that's great. Okay, thank you so much. Okay, if you will please join with me with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
God who gave birth to all creation bless us. May God who became incarnate say to our earthly mother, bless us. May God who broods as a mother over her children bless us. May God bless us now and forever. Amen. There are two very short scriptural readings today, both of which I think are quite apropos for Mother's Day. First one comes from Isaiah 66:13. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. And then from Psalm 22:10-11, for you drew me forth from the womb, made me safe at my mother's breast. Upon you I will thrust from the womb, since my mother bore me, you are my God. When Julie asked me to deliver, I don't want to call it a sermon, we'll just call it an address. My first thought was, what am I going to talk about? And my second thought was, duh, kind of obvious, Nancy, about mothers. And so that's what I'm going to talk about. First, I'm going to talk about my mother. My mother was an unusual woman in that during her time, she was extremely educated. She got her law degree during World War II. I believe there were something like 4 or 5 women in her graduating class. From there, she went on to work at Travelers Insurance, where she was quite successful, but then she met and fell in love with my father. And as it was back then, you don't work and have a family and a husband. And so she quit to become a wife and mother. Today, that's not a problem. Women can have both. They can work and they can have families, but not then. Now, my mother was great, but in traditional roles, not so much. She was a horrendous housekeeper. You had to kind of wade through the stuff throughout the house, and if you didn't pick it up, it pretty much didn't get picked up. And she was an even worse cook. Everything was either pretty much half raw or most likely cremated. Now, I'm probably one of the few people in the world that goes off to college and thinks that the dormitory food is good. I did. My friends thought I was crazy. When I think of my mother, two stories come to mind. One happened when I was about 6 years old. For some reason, I had irritated the neighborhood bully, who was about 15 years old. And I don't know what I did, maybe I didn't do anything, but it didn't really make any difference because he grabbed me by the arms and he dragged me into his house and then into the bathroom, pushed on the back of my head in front of the toilet bowl, threatening to flush my head down the toilet. No, I know that sounds really funny as an adult, but as a child, you have the vision of your head floating down the toilet bowl. Now, I've never, ever been shy about talking or, in this case, screaming. And I screamed so loud that my mother came, and the next thing I know, she took the kid and she body slammed him against the wall. And I really, really wish that I remember what she said to him. But I was so traumatized at the time, I had absolutely no clue whatsoever. But I know the kid never bothered me again. Now, I have visions of this kid somewhere in Leavenworth. I don't know. But what he did was obviously very cruel. Luckily, the family moved away, I think that same year, no more than 2 years after that. The second thing that I remember about my mom is her nurturing skills. She noticed at a young age that I had a talent for public speaking. And so starting in fifth grade, she began coaching me for competitions. And I did really well. And then I got to high school, and of course I had a high school coach, but my mom, you know, continued to coach me. And my freshman through my junior year, I did really well, winning some local and state competitions. But I never met my goal of making it to a national competition. That is until my senior year. My senior year, I not only made it to the national competition, but I won it. Now, for 3 years, I saw all these great places that people were going to for competition. I remember Florida was one. I'm pretty sure Texas was the other. I don't really remember where the third one was. And that sounded so exciting. My parents didn't have very much money, so we didn't travel. We never traveled. Guess where national competition was my senior year? Was that?
Ohio.
Where in Ohio?
Oh, probably.
Closer. Akron. Are you kidding me? We got to go a whole 25 miles from where we live in Canton, Ohio, to Akron. But the experience was great. I just wish that it had been someplace, you know, that was in one of my dreams. Okay, enough about me and my mother. Whenever I need inspiration, I look to the Bible. Today, for a while, I will be addressing some very inspirational women in the Bible. They're a unique group of people, each one having unique qualities. I think it only makes sense to start with the first woman, and that's Eve. She was the first woman to be created. Her name means life or living. Adam named her Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. As a diligent woman, she knew she was valued by God. She was created by God. She walked confidently in the Lord. She knew she was the completion of God's creation, Adam. Eve sometimes gets a bad rap. Yeah, we all know. She sinned against God. She ate the apple. And for that, she and Adam were punished. But I want you to think about something for a minute. Which one of you out there has not sinned against God? We all have done things that we are sorry for, that we have disappointed God. And hopefully, like Eve, who continued in faith, even though she had sinned, but she continued the rest of her life in faith. Even when she had her firstborn son. She believed that she had received the promised seed. She declared, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. Of course, Eve was horrified when her son killed his brother Abel. But Eve saw the effects of sin and the devil firsthand. She kept her faith in the promise of the Lord. Yes, she sinned. But from her, the mother of all living, we receive the promise of salvation. That's pretty great. Moving on to Jochebed, who was the mother of Moses. Now, she was one of the more outstanding members in the scripture. She hid her son Moses for 3 months because the Pharaoh had decreed that young children, boys in particular, young children, not girls, I'm sorry, that male children under the age of 3 to be killed. Drop them in the river, the Nile. And because the Pharaoh was so afraid of the Jewish people and feared that they would challenge his rule. She trusted so much in the Lord that she made a waterproof basket, put it in the flow of the Nile, knowing that the Lord would take care of her son. It speaks to her faith. Next, we have Hannah. Hannah is best known as the mother of the prophet Samuel. Her story is told in 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. She was devoted to the Lord, persistent in her prayers. And she prayed fervently that she would have a child over and over and over again. And she promised that if she had a child, a male child, that she would give the child back to the Lord. Now, God hears our prayers. Does he always answer them? Well, personally, I think it depends. Now, if you pray to the Lord, please let me win the lottery, I'm guessing he's probably not going to answer that prayer. But her prayers were genuine, sincere, over and over and over again. She prayed that she would have a son, and she did have a son. Samuel. She also had a very difficult birth. Childbearing sometimes is very, very painful. Now, this is told to us in the story of Adam and Eve. Because Eve had sinned, the Lord warned her that when she bore children, that it was going to be very painful. And this is something that has been passed on from generation to generation. Okay, we move on to Mary Magdalene. You're wondering, well, why in the heck did you pick her? She's not a mother. No, she wasn't. But the devotion that she gave to Jesus, I maintain, is no less than any mother gives to any child. I mean, she followed him around. She was mentioned in the four Gospels as being part of Jesus' crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection. Finally, we have Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, she should be obvious. Mary was the first century Jewish woman of Nazareth, the wife of Joseph, and the mother of Jesus. She was chosen. Remember that. Chosen by God to bear the child that would save the world. There is no greater honor. Catholics pray to her because as the mother of Christ, they ask her to join with them when they pray to God. She's also present in the Christian Bible in many significant points in Jesus' ministry, witnessing his miracles. She was at the cross. She was at the resurrection. Mary is called the mother of God because she gave birth to Jesus, who is the Trinity, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Yes, Mary was a good mother to Jesus. She's portrayed as being loving, nurturing, supportive, faithful, consistently demonstrating care for him throughout her life. I'm going to move from biblical women to women here in this congregation, because I think there are many people here that need to be recognized at Mount Sinai. I'm going to start by paying tribute to someone that is no longer with us, and that's Hazel Kramer. She's an amazing woman. The last couple of years of her life, I visited her every day, either at the hospital or at home. I've never seen a woman that suffered so much, didn't complain, and all she cared about was your people were your people, I was an English teacher, were your people here at Mount Sylvania? She's always asking me, you know, how's so-and-so doing? I remember one time she asked me, well, how's so-and-so doing? I said, Hazel, I don't really know. And she said, well, you better find out, because I want to know. And of course, I found out. She always thought it was pretty amazing that I visited her daily, that it was an intrusion on my life, but actually, I was the one who benefited. It was my husband, Bob, that pointed out, you know what, Nancy, she is like your mother. And then it dawned on me. Yeah, she kind of was. I'm really kind of sorry that I never told her that I felt that way, but I miss her baby. And I said it when I delivered her eulogy. I loved her then, and I still do. I will never forget her. Moving on, Shanna Willis, Shirley Yeoman's daughter, said Shirley gave her valuable lessons that she carries with her to this day. She stressed the importance of learning how to type, despite the fact that Shanna did not want to listen, and now she uses it on her child. You know, who knew that mothers knew these kind of things? She taught Shanna the art of minding her own business, which is something that we should all know. And lastly, she taught Shanna to leave well enough alone. Angelina Sierra had the following to say about her mother, Teresa. I just want to take a moment to say how deeply I appreciate my mom. She's the heart of the family, the one who gives endlessly, loves unconditionally, and always shows up with strength and grace. She is always by my side in every hurt and in every joy. I have never met a more selfless woman. Her warmth, wisdom, and quiet sacrifices have shaped who I am, and I'm so grateful for her every hug, every word of encouragement, and every moment of care. I thank her forever for everything she has done. Bubba Mosteller shared these thoughts about his mother, Pat Mosteller. What is there to say about our mom? She will give anything for her children and grandchildren. She's selfless, she's caring, she's loving, compassionate. She's our rock. My mom has always been there and has been supportive. She's always been understanding no matter what kind of turmoil we got into. Susie Hockenberry also had thoughts about her mom, Pat. Susie said, she had so many titles over the years. She was cook, she was taxi driver, keeper of the Cheerios. Pat, Cheerios were a big deal in your house? Okay. She was keeper of the Cheerios. She was a nurse. She was a monster chaser. She was a cheerleader, a prayer warrior, a shoulder to cry on, a bulldog, best friend, the four-leaf whisperer. I remember Pastor Keith said that she could go into a yard and just like that, find a four-leaf clover. I don't think I've ever found one in my entire life. Susie said, however, the period of her life that I've enjoyed the most is the Mimi era. The way she loves the grandchildren just as much as she does her own children. She is the true epitome of unconditional love. She may not have always agreed with our decisions, but she let us make our own mistakes. She put her 2 cents in, but again, she was there if we messed up because she was a shoulder to cry on. She's always been caring, compassionate, faith-leading, and always up to getting into a little bit of orneriness, either with her children or her grandchildren. Brendan Mosteller is grateful to his mother, Stacy, for the most basic and...
Morrison.
Vincent.
Morrison, not Monsfeller.
Oh, that's because I've been too many Monsfellers. I'm sorry, Morrison. His mother, Stacy, for the most basic reason, an important one, that she gave him life. What is more important than that? Angelina had this to say about her mother, Teresa. I just want to take a moment to say how deeply I appreciate my mom. She is the heart of the family. She is the one who gives endlessly, loves unconditionally, and always shows up with strength and grace. She is always by my side during every hurt and every joy. I have never met a more selfless woman than my mother. Her warmth, wisdom, quiet sacrifices have shaped who I am. I am so grateful for every hug, every word of encouragement, and every moment of care. I thank her forever for everything she has done. Little Jocelyn had this to say, Mima, Mom, Mimi, I love you guys so much. I'll do anything for you guys. Happy Mother's Day. Now, I think I have it right. Mima is Julie. Mimi is Pat. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I thought I had that right. Gracie said the following about her mom. Thank you for being there for me. I love you. To Mima, she wants to thank you for your game night and for letting us bring our goats inside the house. Okay. To her Mimi, she said, I love you. I love our talks and our daddy story time. Thank you for everything. Stacy Morrison had kind words to say about her mother, Chris. She is the rock that holds us all together. She loves us all unconditionally. She is the best wife, mother, grandmother, and great grandmother. She is the epitome of love and devotion. She leads by example. She is my best friend. I am proud to call her my mom. She's 100% irreplaceable. Alicia Mosteller had kind words for her mother, too. She's always put everyone else before herself. We literally could not live life without her. She is always there to lend a helping hand, whether it is butchering the chickens, mucking the stalls, holding goats to be milked, cleaning the afterbirth off. She's always there asking, how can I help? I would not be where I am today without her help. Although I really don't know anything about farm life, I know that that is a characteristic of Julie, and she'd hate it that I'm saying this, but it's true. Look at all the things that she does for this church. Personally, I think she is kind of literally holding the church together. So those qualities that her family see in her, I see in her. All right, I want you to think about something very briefly here. Whenever you see a celebrity or an athlete on TV, who's the person that is thanked? Mom. Now, that is not to say that dads are not important, because certainly they are. But I think to a great extent, and this is my own personal feeling, that because half of the marriages end in divorce, the bulk of the responsibility of taking care of the children is with the mother. I'm going to close with words that were written by Annie Mosteller. And I quote him, because women give birth to us, we are always a living part of them, as well as them being our first love. They give us the foundation on which we build our lives. Mothers are the true North Star that leads us, and they are there to keep us from strain. God made sure that each of us had a mother to show each of us what the depths of love are.